morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. What a show I have for you today. I'm telling you, I have two wonderful guys, talented, gifted, and just as nice as they are talented and gifted. And they're starring in a play, which I went to see, and they let me stay through the whole thing. Usually I'm escorted out, but they have a new artistic director there, and he's lifted the restraining order. We're going to get into it a lot, but I want you to understand this. If you get an opportunity to see it, please do. It's at the old VFW where I spent many a day, but we won't go there, will we? And it's called Faith Healer. And it's an marvelous play. And these two guys, this good-looking guy, but they're both good-looking, I mean, compared to me. They both have hair, so that's an up. Mark Dole and Chris Envar, and they're... I'm going to let you guys explain it in theatrical terms. I'm going to, in layman, it's a monologue play. There's only like one person on most of the time, almost all of them. And Chris and Mark, I have to ask you this because I don't remember where I parked the car. Some of it is to do with age, I think. But how did you remember? How do you remember everything? The lines, the where to be, when to put your coat on, when to take it off. Chris, I'll start with you.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks, Bill, first of all, for having us on and always appreciate your support, and you're just the greatest guy. Always happy to talk to you. We've been training and getting that in our brains, you know, the muscle of memorizing things, being able to sit down and just, you know, Mark and I talked about this, probably spent 5 weeks before we came up here learning our lines because the rehearsal process was only 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And then, once you get on your feet and once you know them, you start learning the blocking and that kind of stuff, they start disappearing. They start, all of a sudden you thought you knew it. And then when you're standing up and walking around, you're like, what the hell? I thought I knew what I was saying here. But then those moves, taking off the coat, like you said, or going to stage right or whatever it is, you associate the lines with those. So actually the movement and the props and those things actually help you remember the lines.
Wow. And how about you, Mark? Same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would second everything Chris says. And I will also add that, you know, nothing helps you more than great writing. And Brian Friel, an absolute master of the craft, may he rest in peace, has written a script that, in my opinion, is perfect. And we've said this before, but you get a syllable wrong, you get a word wrong, and your body feels it, your brain, your spirit feels it. You literally have to put the work in, and it can be drudgery in the beginning, you know. First word, second word, third word, fourth word, and connecting them. But as soon as they start to connect and the thing kind of starts to roll around in your head and in your body, it becomes easier to learn. And then he and his mastery just kind of take over. I wouldn't say ever, I mean, hubris is, and I'm terribly superstitious, I don't want to say it was ever easy. I don't want to say it's ever easy, but he does most of the hard work. My castmates don't mind me saying that, but he does a lot of the lifting for you. He helps you memorize it too. I mean, just the beauty of the structure and yep.
Yeah, what? Well put.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, it was just well put, Mark.
Yeah. That's absolutely, but it's hard. I mean, literally.
Absolutely true.
And, you know, you get a 2.5 week rehearsal process because most theaters can't afford even that. Right. If we wasted any time in the room learning it, oh, my God, we'd still be there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, and folks, when you see this, listeners and viewers, when you see this play, you'll know exactly what I mean. I can say this because I'm not a critic, and well, here's how I feel about theater critics. I can't do what these guys do. So, and all of you have been watching. I've been on now almost 20 years. You'll understand if I don't talk about a play, it's because I just didn't care for it. I'm certainly not going to badmouth it. But then, of course, as many of you also know, if I do like a play, I talk about it a wee bit too much. But that's okay. You know, this is a layman. I understand what you're saying, but I went to do this interview. I did research, and I forget where it was, but this play, in my opinion, and obviously the person who wrote this, this play has to be performed by real professionals. Otherwise, it's long and boring. And that those aren't my words. Those were, and that's a compliment to the entire you and Chris and Gretchen. I mean, you are such professionals. You make it look so easy. And yeah, I mean that from my heart.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Bill.
But what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it is a challenging play. I think because we are all experienced professional actors. We found a way, and you know, big hand and credit to Julie, because she, you know, she was the the maestro. You know, she put it together and directed it beautifully. And you know, aside from that, because you could have professional actors doing the play and not have a good director, and it wouldn't work. So really, a lot of credit goes to Julie.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't just go out there and start talking. There has to be reason. There has to be life behind it. There has to be the necessity. And the world, and Julie and our designers, Luciana and David and Fabian, set, that set, lights and sound, you know, laid so much beautiful groundwork for us too. You know, I mean, it really, this one definitely takes a village. It's not, it can't just be the three actors.
And, you know, I have to, for the folks, this was Sunday night, and, for those people that didn't know, the local baseball team was going to have a fireworks show that no one knew about, including the actors and including the fat boy here. And when it's all of a sudden, Chris is out on the stage and you hear this boom, boom. And in today's day and age, in today's world, you never know what a boom, boom means. But then it dawned on me after in a series of rat-tat-tat, rat, but we got through it, and I, to show you the professionalism and the talent and the gift that Chris Envar has, you didn't miss a beat. I'm ready to crawl under the seat, and he's going on with the thing. But that was a show. How did that affect you when you first heard it? What did you think?
At first, I thought it was thunder, and then. And then someone in the audience actually concurred with me, because I heard them say, "Was that thunder?"
Yeah.
And then it repeated, and then I realized it was fireworks. It's sort of at a high point emotionally of the play too for me, right at the very end.
Yes.
So it definitely changed the end of the play. I felt like it wasn't. I thought it affected me, not necessarily in a great way, but I was told afterwards that I was actually buttoning my coat somehow in time to the fireworks. I don't know how that's possible, but anyway, it was unfortunate a little bit, because I could tell that the audience was distracted. I could hear them murmuring and wondering what's going on. You know, we got through it, and
Yeah,
you just have to deal with things like that.
That's the why I said to the folks, and I mean, this is why they're so gifted and talented. Yeah. Where were we when? Was a Freud's thing, and somebody dropped, I don't know whether their computer or what, and that was one of the preview nights many years ago, and it startled me. But these two guys went on like it was nothing, you know. Oh, I didn't hear nothing. But, you know,
this day and age, too, Bill, I mean, unfortunately, you just, we are now trained to expect something. I mean, a performance where something doesn't happen like that, a phone, a watch, somebody's life alert went off the other night, fireworks, ambulances whizzing by. I mean, it's just, it's, I don't want to say it's ordinary, but it certainly isn't unusual anymore.
Why? And phones, it drives me nuts. They make the announcement, what, 15 times? Shut off your phone, shut off your phone.
Yeah.
I'll be damned the other day. It's your performance. Did you hear the phone go off? I mean, it's like, it was when Chris was out there. It was like, what are you, brain dead? I just have so much respect for live theater. That I hope when people come in, they bring that respect with them. And in most cases, they do. But there are those times when, you know, the guy's with his phone up, the light, you know, you're sitting behind him and you're reading everything he's typing. I don't care about your girlfriend. you know? But what was, in? I'll start with you, Mark. Was it just the lines, or was it getting in the headset of the person you're portraying?
Very truthfully, it was literally words first. Just start memorizing these words. And then again, great writing. The story just starts to, I mean, it's osmosis. You know, you feel yourself kind of steeping in this thing more and more and more. And just the rhythms of the particular characters and the word choices and all the character just slowly starts to present itself. And, you know, one of the things I did, too, initially, I read the whole play several times so I could hear what Chris said about me. I could hear what Gretchen said about me. And I very deliberately wrote down every adjective. You know, it's fascinating to hear how someone is talked about.
Yeah.
And then I stopped reading theirs and just started, you know, just concentrating on mine. But, you know, the great writing, I mean, the character just starts to present itself. And then we also, you know, honestly, we had some pre-rehearsals with Julie. We met as a group, I think it was twice. And then we met individually. So we did start talking about the character. Julie asked us all to write biographies, so we had histories coming in, you know, something that I haven't done in a while. And all of that helps build it. But if you want to know, literally, the first thing I did was just start learning the words, because that immediately, when you're faced with 21 pages or something, that is the first dragon to slay. That is the dragon to slay. And if you can get through that, hopefully the rest isn't going to be so tough.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah. Well, I read the play several times. And then I started actually taking notes on, I mean, as you know, there are three different versions of, not all always different, but there are three people telling the same story in different ways.
Yeah.
And I tried to break it down so that I could figure out when am I absolutely telling the truth? And I know I'm telling the truth. When am I maybe saying something that's not true, but I don't know it? Best. When am I saying something that's not true and I do know it? I broke down all the little sort of devices that Frank might be using, whether consciously or unconsciously, and sort of set up a framework of these stories that I tell, and established what, you know, that framework of truth or not truth, conscious or not conscious of it. And so I had to build, I built a little like ladder, you know, to climb up based on truths or not truths. And then I just started, learning the lines, just learning the lines with that framework already in place, because I thought that would help me learn the lines.
I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 76 years old, you can repeat yourself too. Folks, it's a marvelous play. It's riveting. They're they're acting. You forget who they are because they're writing character. Not, we've known each other for a long time, and that's what happened to me. I mean, they both were in part, in character, and that's who I saw. I don't mean to offend you guys, but I didn't see you guys. I saw the character.
Well, that's the highest compliment.
Thank you. That's a compliment.
Well, honestly, we'll from here. I told the princess on the way out, it was just amazing how you captured the, at least my soul, and you probably don't want it, so give it back. Because most of my friends now are leaving, and I tell them before they go, leave the back door open, because that's the only way I'm getting in. But,
you know, I just want to say, Bill, for people who don't pull the play, too.
Yeah.
I think what's fascinating about it is it's kind of this great mystery that unfolds. Frank, Chris plays this faith healer, this man who has this power.
Right.
You know, and I maybe put it in quotation marks to heal people. And I play Teddy, who's his kind of manager. And then Gretchen, who's not with us, plays his wife. And there are. We tell similar and dissimilar stories, but there are different versions of them. There's the way people remember things, certain things, forget certain things, like Chris was saying, tell the truth about things, lie about things. And what's, I think, a fascinating journey for the audience is then it's up to you to put together the truth or a truth. And so it's this kind of great, you know, mystery, this onion, and the layers keep peeling, and you hear the recognition from the audience as connections are being made or as connections are being unmade. And that's what I think is so beautiful about it, that it's not just this kind of heavy, droney thing. There's actually quite funny parts, too, but it's this great mystery. It's this great kind of tale, this great Irish lore mystery tale.
And thanks for doing that description of it, because I didn't want to try to attempt it because I'm not as familiar with it, but you just did it wonderfully. And you know, my mother was Irish, don't you know? Where is she? Yes. At times I could see, we used to call it over home in the Irish kitchen. That it was my grandmother's kitchen. They would talk, and in all the characters, I could see one of my aunts or one of my uncles or my dad saying something, dovetailing what you were saying, but not exactly, but, you know, just about different things. And I want to tell people it's now, what's the last day? I should have it in front of me. I left it on my.
We close on August the 27th.
Okay, so you better get there, really, truly. And everyone who's been there, I've talked to 3 or 4 folks that we know, and everybody said they're still processing it. And that's great. That, I mean, if you walk out of that particular place, I understood it 100%. I'm going to say, really? But as you guys... this is a little bit of an aside. What do you think of the writers and actors strike? I mean, my heart breaks for the writers.
Well, listen, to my heart breaks for everybody. I support our unions. I support our brothers and sisters, and I support my family entirely.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. It's yeah, that's a big conversation, but I'll just say
it is
full support for.
Yeah, I am too.
Somebody's making a lot of money, a lot of money. And usually at the end of the day, it's not us.
Yeah.
Well, and usually at the end of the day, they feel like it's still not enough money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For all of the money they're making, which is is sad.
I have to thank Julianne Boyd. Talking about money people, Julianne doesn't happen to be one of the ones we're talking about, and Kate McGuire, in the height of the COVID pandemic, they had live performances when all these big shots with all their money couldn't put their heads together to have a performance. So yeah. I will never forget those two ladies, and they should, the others should be ashamed. Two ladies from the Berkshires put on live performances during the height of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first
and,
two in
and
the
tip our hat to Mark doing Harry Clark.
Yeah.
Which I got to see, and it was a beautiful performance, and yeah. people were dying to, not a good choice of words in this conversation. People were yearning for theater, and
yes,
they got to see that.
What we found here, and you guys, I think, are hopefully experiencing it. It was cultural desert.
I just want to say, sidebar, one of the really exciting things about this show, too, I think, for us, is, you know, Barrington is in new hands now, beautiful hands with Alan Paul and
what Meredith a great guy.
And it's very exciting to be here and be in something that's being well received in this, you know, there's new life, there's new potential, there's just newness, and it's really exciting to be here for that.
He's really I've had him on the show. He's really an engaging guy with a vision. And you know, Julie brought this from, you know, where, Sheffield or someplace, and
Sheffield,
brought it here and has been here. In fact, I was with Jimmy Roberto the other day, and we were just talking about it. And I think Alan is the next chapter of this book.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know? Super smart, sensitive, funny, engaging guy.
Really,
all of the above. And let's just hope. I mean, you know, my fingers are crossed for Pittsfield too. I mean, you know, it's fascinating to walk around and, having seen it before COVID, during COVID, after COVID, fingers, I hope.
Well, and the thing is, to finish my thought, it was a cultural desert. And I think what people now, I mean, there was no Tanglewood, there was no Jacobs, there wasn't a Colonial, there wasn't a Barrington, there wasn't, well, and I really think, is me Irish mother used to say, don't you know? An ill wind blows some good fate. She had a million of those things. Half of them didn't know what she was saying. And the ill wind was COVID, but the good fate is so many of the people now, they missed the cultural events, and now they're going to them.
Yeah.
Really and truly, there's been some great sellouts in both stages, and I applaud Alan. I went to see Cabaret, and it was amazing, the music. And the thing I would say about what I picked out of that was he moved the orchestra up on stage.
Yeah.
Me, with the music from Cabaret, that was brilliant.
That was delightful. And having people in the lobby before the show and having performers in the audience, I mean, it was delightful.
Yeah, I can remember when Mark, you'll remember, we used to do this, Chris, before Zoom. And the only reason we're doing Zoom now is with COVID and my lungs are shot. So I don't know. But I called Julie and I said, hey, Julie or Charlie, can I get anybody from the play on? He said, yeah, what time? And I said, about 7:15. He said, well, no, that's right in the middle of the performance. I said, oh, in the morning. He goes, no.
Yeah.
So when I got your email, when you said to me, any chance to do it, but not too early.
I was like, not too early.
And I'm thinking, I got to drive down to Northampton and back. So don't. But what do you think is, what's your future? What, I'm going to start with Chris. When you finish this, what's next?
I don't know. Maybe a little vacation.
Yeah.
I'm reading Travels with Charlie, which somehow I've never read before. I have a dog named Charlie. And one of my favorite books is The Grapes of Wrath. So John Steinbeck's great book, Travels with Charlie. And in the first 40 pages, he talks about Deer Island as one of his stops, which I've never been to. So this morning I was online looking for a place to stay on Deer Island, maybe right after we close. So I might
a little downtime.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it'll go back, you know, I'll go back to, my home is now Long Beach, New York. So, you know, go back and visit friends and family and that kind of stuff. And then start looking for work again.
How about you, big guy?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's tough because we mentioned a strike. So it's a peculiar time. How long is it going to go on? I don't know. And that will definitely affect, you know, potential employment for us. I am heading home to Chicagoland, my beautiful mother. Shout out. Hi, Mom. Has just had more spine surgery, but she's doing really well. She's thriving. And I'm going to go to tag in and be a good son and brother and uncle and, you know, yeah, like, you know, be with family and which is, you know, the most important thing, and spend some time there. And then back to New York and then back to the grind, whatever that grind will look like for the next couple of months, and onward and upward, you know.
I had our mutual friend Rocco on to talk about the strike. He only lives down the street, you know. We share and he made and you guys know this, but I say it for the audience, support the actors and the writers in their efforts to deal with the big shots. Because Rocco made an interesting comment, and I don't know the exact, but most actors make between 40 and 60,000 a year. You know, you have the Meryl Streeps and all those, but they're few and far between. And, you know, and then the other part that gets me, because, you know, I've written a few books and several chapters, but AI, I mean, artificial intelligence, to me, for writers, that's got to be frightening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say.
Oh, if they want to capture your image and pay you a fee and then use your image or your voice in perpetuity.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just,
it's, you know, I know a lot of people think technology is wonderful, and someday I'm going to learn how to use a computer. And I want to share this with you guys, 'cause you're my friends. You see these cell phone here?
Yeah.
You can take pictures with it.
You no can. Kidding.
My son told me that 3 years ago. He said, "Dad, just take a picture." I said, "I don't have a camera." He said, "In your cell phone." Let me tell you, you don't know what you're dealing with here. Hey, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back. Please stay tuned. A lot more to talk about not only this particular play, which is marvelous, but also the art and the craft of live acting. And I couldn't have two better people. Believe me when I tell you. We'll be right back. This is WTBR, 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We're on the web. We're on Zulu, Lulu, Nulu, and all the rest of them. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, everybody, we're back. Two great guys up here. There's me, the fat guy, bald. Then there's Chris Envar. He's and Mark Dole. They're starring in Faith Healer along with Gretchen. And I will just say, if you haven't seen it, get there. It's not a long run. August 27th, I believe they said. So, and make sure you go to see it. It's a, It's a monologue play. I'm going to let them explain what that means, but I read that in a book. But it's intense. I guess that's, is that a fair word, intense? I mean, you have to watch. You can't take a break.
I think that's a very accurate word, but it's also, I mean, like Mark was saying earlier, it's entertaining and it's funny.
Oh, very entertaining. But
the issues that they're talking about are often quite intense.
It's also life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some people, it's life. And you know, the birth and all of that, that I saw a lot of people kind of tear up, some of the women, you know, and that's a compliment also to Gretchen's delivery and your guys' delivery. Cause I just really think, and I'll say it again, I said it off here, I'm going to say it on there. If it wasn't, in my opinion, and of course everybody knows that watches this program, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Tyre in the Mayor's Office, Peter Marchetti in the City Council, or the one person riding their bicycle northbound in the southbound lane on North Street. We have a lot of bike traffic. We must have 4 or 5 a day going each way. I gotta start cleaning my act up.
But, please don't. Please don't.
Oh, Bill, you are so funny.
No, it's too late for me. Save yourself. But
you know, I want to add this too. It's a great family drama in a weird way. We are not related. We are actually not family. But these are three people who are so inextricably life linked.
Yes.
That's the beauty of it too. And the other beauty of it too is that it's not just, you know, kind of, we've used the word monologues, and yes, that is very accurate, but they're the great scene partner for all of us is the audience. It's very interactive.
We were saying
one of the fascinating things is being in this play where you're so isolated, you know, and usually we rely on each other and great discoveries happen just riffing off one another. Chris and I have, you know, had great moments of discovery and great moments of joy on stage together. And now we're in this play together, but are we, you know, I mean, so my main scene, our main scene partner is you.
Yeah.
And the fascinating thing was, and I said this last night at a talk back, you didn't show up until first preview. And it's like, wait a minute, where the hell have you been? You know? But so it's not just people coming out and pontificating or philosophizing.
No.
It's very immediate. Even in its reflection, it's very immediate.
Yeah. Although, sorry, Bill.
No, go.
I was just going to say, although we don't interact with each other on stage, one of the great gifts is that we have these relationships, Mark and I for 20 years, Gretchen, almost about the same time. As Mark said last night, we and Julie, we danced at his wedding.
Yeah.
We have these rich, rich relationships that go back forever. So that does part of this, a good deal of the work for us in terms of the relationships, even though we never see each other on stage.
And I think too that comes through in the transfer. And that's probably not the right word, but when you go off and Mark comes on, there's this is something I'm also familiar. There's a hangover of you.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's great.
No, don't you think that? And when you go off in Gretchen, I mean, I really feel that you, Chris comes out and does his stuff in your. And remember the title, folks. Remember the title, Faith Healer. So all you have to do is think of all the things you've seen about faith healers in movies. This guy takes them all, puts them in a ball, and throws it at you. And he does it in such a wonderful way, you say, do it again. And he does. And I mean that, Chris. And then Mark comes out, and you know, all of a sudden he's there, and he's, I'm dumbfounded. It how all of a sudden I looked, and I don't usually do this, but I looked, 10 minutes went by. I don't usually do that in a play, but that's how fast that you get absorbed and you just lose track of it. I lost track of everything. I mean, I had great seats, and the delivery, and I say it and I know I say it, so don't you please. I get enough hate texts in the morning, but it's the talent of the actors that bring this particular production to life. I mean, yeah, it maybe reads beautifully. I've read a lot of things, but you got to have people that are professionals delivering this, and you guys have. I mean, really and truly.
Thank you.
Well, it's meant to be, you know, it's meant to be spoken, you know, it's a beautiful thing to read, but it really is meant to be heard and seen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that goes without saying, it is a play, but that I think to hear some of the language, it carries the play.
You guys have been in long runs in your careers. How do you gear up? Because I get these questions from people, you know, how do you gear up? You've been doing the same performance for 6-3 months, whatever. How do you gear up to go and knock it out of the ballpark every night?
Mark? Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, it's part of what we do. It's part of our training. It's part of, it's never necessarily easy, but it's...
Right.
I mean, in particular, in context of this play, it's a very unusual experience. I can only speak to my participation. I don't want to spoil alert, but I have a long time to wait. A long time to wait, and it's strange. It's uncomfortable. I have to make sure I stay very focused. I look at the words, I make sure I tune out, you know, everything else that's going on before in a way that I don't think I really have had to do in recent history so much. Because you kind of, it happens to Chris twice. The rest of us just get shot out of a cannon once. Yeah. And there's kind of no warm up. I mean, you are just on, and you, like we said, without a scene, you're on alone.
Yeah.
For quite some time. So you have to be ready. But I also will default to saying that Brian Friel is a master, and he's written a gorgeous piece. Mm-hmm. And even if you're feeling shaky in some parts, if you just keep saying the words, you just keep letting the words come, you find yourself starting to settle. And I'm not really answering your question.
I think you are.
It's hard. I have to focus very much on the task at hand in a way that I haven't had to in recent history, and make sure that the outside noise is very quiet. Because when it's my turn and my turn alone.
Right.
And that's very challenging. Super inarticulate. Forgive me.
You know, Bill, I was thinking with the preparation, although the play is a mystery play and it's very funny and it's other, these other things, it's really a very spiritual experience too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there in the title. And in spite of whether, you know, Frank's lying or telling the truth or you know, yeah, he's definitely a flawed being. It's a spiritual experience for me personally. And I look at it that way as a gift before I go on. There's this great gift that I get to do, have this experience. And it's hopefully a great gift for the audience. And they're giving me the gift of them being here. And I'm giving them the gift of this experience of Frank, you know. I think it's a spiritual experience for the audience and for us.
You said something that resonates in my head that you should feel very proud of that, because I can't remember anything. That's my wife. She got 43 volumes of stuff just from this month. But the
her name is Anne.
Oh, again?
Huh. Her name is Anne, is that what you said?
Roseanne. Yeah, I call her Polish princess.
Polish princess.
That, Mark, I'll write it down.
But well, it's just a shout out to the Polish princess.
Oh, yes, hi.
Yeah. The I never thought of this, and you said it, Chris, I think. Or Mark, you're out there alone. Well, that's very rare on the stage. That, you know, I mean, you have other colleagues that, you know, if you're dropping or you're not in the right spot, they'll nudge or whatever. But that had to be kind of scary. That would make makes me scary. You know?
Yeah. It's scary. It's fun. It's beautiful. It is what the piece is.
Yeah.
I can imagine this play with any other structure. It's very deliberate. It's scary, but yeah, sure. Absolutely scary.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm just thinking of some of the other plays. I can't think of any play that where it was just a sole actor for a great period of time. There may be a so, you know, like in Cabaret, some guy comes out, or the maitre d' or whatever they called him, but then he's surrounded by people. You're out there for a pretty good period of time. What's the run of your first experience, Chris, when you first come out? How long is that?
I'm not sure. I think it might be around 25 minutes.
Okay, 20, yeah.
28 minutes, maybe, something like that.
And Mark, how about yours?
And then I think Gretchen's is 40 and change, and mine on a my ballpark is 45 and change.
Yeah, you maybe
six.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Chris comes back out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the last one is maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It to me, folks, but what they just said, here's my interpretation. It all comes together like that. It, even though this delivery, that delivery, this delivery, when you walk out of there, it's like this. I don't know if it's supposed to be that way, but that's how I that's how I felt when I went out. It came together for me. You know, Teddy, you know, it just came together.
You know, I'll say one of the lovely compliments so far, if I can call it a compliment,
yeah,
is people who I know have seen it, when they actually ask me, like, how long were you out there? And I say, and they'll say, like, wow, that seemed like 10 minutes.
Yes.
Like 11 minutes. Like, these stories just go. And they just, and hopefully if we're doing our job and we're doing it well, you're so wrapped in it that time kind of loses itself. And you're just taken on this amazing journey, and before you know it, it's finished.
I was totally captured until the fireworks went out. Honest to God, I was totally captured on, totally focused on the stage, what was going on, and I don't keep bringing that up for any other reason other than to validate what you just said. Time flew by. Let's put it that way. Time flew by.
That's Julie, too. I mean, that's a lot of Julie. I mean, we've had, I mean, God, I think I remember when I started, I was clocking like 54, 53 minutes. And then suddenly we had a run through and I'd lost like 5 minutes. And I was like, how did that happen? And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of nuance in there, too. And there was a lot of great fine directing in there, too, about, you know, how. Yeah, you know, it's not without a great deal of finesse.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, thank you for giving Julie the credit for the directing, because she certainly deserves it. I mean, like, she had really talented actors. She's a talented director. And
for sure, yeah.
The two have meshed for a wonderful, wonderful production. Get to see it. It's Tuesday, do you have Wednesday matinee?
No, we're dark on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Oh, you're dark on Mondays.
Yeah. Okay. So let me do my Barrington Stage thing. So we do Wednesday nights, two shows on Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday, one matinee on Sunday. Seven shows a week. Dark Monday, dark Tuesday.
Wow. That's a little different, isn't it?
And they are peculiar start times too, Bill. I want to mention this too. The matinees start at 1:30, not at 2 o'clock. And the evening shows are at 7:30, not at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Mark, but isn't it unusual to be dark Monday and Tuesday? Usually Monday.
Yeah, it sort of is. It's unusual not to have a Tuesday night show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It is what it is, but
yeah.
And please, folks, there's ample parking. There's handy. I have to do this takeaway. All the people say, "Oh, I can't call because there's not parking." Yeah, there's ample parking, and because I walk with a cane, because I now have a bewitch of a disability, it is 100% accessible. 100%. And they will do anything. And when I say they, I mean the management and I mean the ushers. They will do anything to make you comfortable. And I believe that with my whole heart. I've seen them do it.
And it's in that beautiful, beautiful second space, the Blatt Center, Mark St. Germain stage. And I just think, great things happen on Union Street as well. But,
yeah,
you know, magical things, very unexpected things happen in that small space. It's a gem.
And for those of you that can't picture where it is, it's the old VFW. And we'll talk about that in another show. But I spent a year or nine there at one point. The whole thing of live theater... we lost through COVID. We've talked about this, but because it's a morning show, there's people coming in and going out. We talked about this earlier on in the show. And I said to the fellas, it was a cultural desert here. It really was. And I think we're seeing the great success of the local theater in Tanglewood. They had 25,000 people there a couple nights ago.
Yeah, I heard it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And these guys, I can't thank them enough for their talent and the gift. But they also, you're real. I have to tell, I tell a story every time I have it. I was doing the show, Mark, at the original station in downtown North Street.
Years ago.
It's another group, not Barrington, not Colonial. It was another, they're since defunct, but. This lady comes and she says, "How long will this last?" I said, "It can end right now, you know." And the producer and the two stars and the director go, "No, no, no, no." It was an hour of free advertising, right? So she said, "Well, I have to get back to rehearse." And I said, "Oh, that's on you, you know." Anyhow, I went to see the play. This is her total performance in this play. "Madam, what time shall I bring the tea?" And you guys are so wonderful to me and the show and to Berkshire's and to Barrington and to all of us that please take the time to see it. It is an amazing play. It is spiritual. I call it humanity. Everything in humanity, the truth, the lies, the sadness, the happiness, the joy. And the way you guys bring it through is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
If you ever need a reference, call Roseanne.
you remembered her name. Good man.
She just looked at me. Yes. No. But the whole piece of this, and Marcus said it, the playwright was brilliant, but it really does touch the humanity of the soul, in my opinion. I really mean that. And again, please get to see it, folks. Mark, please do the times again, because they are different.
Okay. We are dark on Monday night and Tuesday night. Wednesdays, we have a matinee at 1:30, evening at 7:30. Thursday night, 7:30. Friday night, 7:30. Saturday, 1:30, 7:30. Sunday matinee, 1:30. Boy, I hope that's all right. But, you know, BarringtonStageCo.org.
Yeah.
Could confirm or deny my truth.
Let me tell you. They're going to have pictures of you two hanging up there, and I'm not going to say where, but they'll be up hanging up somewhere. I guess I'm getting sad to understand that this will end on the 27th of August, which means the summer is coming to an end.
I know, crazy, isn't it?
It truly is, and it truly means to me that, you know, I miss this so when we don't do it, you know, I really do. It becomes part of our life, and you know, I was just talking with someone else and saying, yeah, what do you think we'll do? And we'll be, you know, I don't know. Well, we'll get by it. We always do. But there's live theater.
I want to shout out and say, you know, I mean, we're not done yet. I mean, you know, no. Bill Finn's musical, A New Brain, is coming up, directed by a magnificent Joe Colarco.
Yeah.
Beautiful play called English that will be here in the fall on the main stage. And listen, one of the great successes of the season is, you mentioned our dear friend Mark St. Germain, his play, yeah. Happiest Man in the World.
Happiest Man on Earth.
Coming back for an encore performance in the fall.
That's exactly right. And what a powerful. Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. I didn't mean to
interrupt. And I did not get a chance to see it. And I will absolutely come back to see that and everything. So, yeah, summer is winding down. But in a weird way, Barrington still has three amazing things coming that should not be missed.
Yeah,
in the fall, it's so beautiful to be up here in the fall. You know, I love working up here in the fall and coming back to see shows in the fall. It's just such a great time here. So, yeah, still more work to see.
I'm old enough to remember Labor Day, they shut the theaters down.
Mm-hmm.
Summer stock. Remember that? Those terms?
Yeah, stock. Sure.
Williamstown and all of them. Maybe they would. Then they started pushing out to Columbus Day, and that was a big deal. But a quick promo for Mark St. Germain and Bill Finn. I call Bill Finn the great one, and he was always a delight to interview. He had no filters, but Bill is a genius. But Mark St. Germain wrote this play, Happiest Man in the World. And I was with Mark the other day, and this is kind of too much for me, but I had to, I was asked to speak at a couple Memorial Day services, and I saw that play before it. Mm. And I thought to myself, and I told Mark, I extrapolated things from your play for my speech, but I'm not paying your royalties, you know. But it is a play you must see, as you must see this one. And like Mark said, a little bit different times. Check with the box office. But please get to see it, because it is a performance you will not forget. You will walk out of that that theater, as the Polish Princess and I did, saying, wow, that grabbed you. Because it was humanity, and that's why I like plays. When it's delivered by real people on a stage, you can feel it. Not that I'm against movies, but you don't have that same, what do you call it? Mark, you said it's a relationship with the audience.
Yeah, well, there's a necessity, the immediacy. I mean, it's, you know, it's that chemical thing that only happens when you're actually one of the people in the room. You have to be in the room.
Amen.
Well put, right?
Listen, I don't care what they say, and don't take this as a threat. I may come back to see it again.
Threat taken.
You have a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, no, and I can't thank you guys enough for coming on. You're good friends, and folks, please, we have to support the arts. And I guess the other thing I would say is for our writers and actors, this program supports you. And I hope that others people will support you, because I've said this to Mark many years ago, you're the most resilient people I know. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you get all together and you go and you give it your best at an audition, right? And the phone never rings.
Right.
It rings and says, oh, listen, you were terrific, but we're going to go with Bill. They would never say that. But seriously, guys, thank you so much. I've got a ton of advertising. I have to read, not advertising, announcements for what's going on. If I don't read it, I'll start getting hate mail at about 7:34 in the morning. It's just the way it is.
Okay, can I say one more thing?
Thank you so much.
You are one of the great people. You are one of the great humans on the planet, Bill Sturgeon, and thank you for your advocacy. Thank you for your support and your love and your generosity. And we support you.
I know you do. You're breaking up on me, Mark, but you guys have always been.
Thank you.
Beautifully, beautifully put, Mark, and I second all of that, Bill. I love you, and thank you so much, as always, for having us on.
You guys have always been good friends. I hope we always will be.
Yeah.
Be well. Yes. Stay out of the hot sun while I read these announcements.
All righty.
All right.
Bill, thanks,
if you hear in the middle of your performance, if you hear, hey, Chris, hey, Mark, it's Bill, don't let it throw you. God love you guys.
I look forward to it. Love you too.
Bye. Bye.
Be well. Thank you. By the way, we have Sweet Bee. This is the Soapbox Derby in memory of Brian Goines. That's going to be August the 19th. It's going to be right down, racing down Robbins Avenue. And it'll be fun for everybody. And Bascom Lodge, that's the 2023 Jazz Dinner. That's taking place. You have to make reservations. Do mail at bascomlodge.net. This one is very important to me, and I share it with you. On September 13th through the 18th, the Dalton American Legion and Dalton in their ball field, they're going to be having the traveling wall. It's a replica of the wall. And the name of this is The Wall That Heals. Exhibits features three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington. Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, go yourself. And it's a learning thing, and it's a very emotional thing for me personally. Friday, September the 15th, the Fall Classic Hillcrest Educational Center. That will be on Berkshire Hills at Berkshire Hills Country Club. We're happy about that. This is another important one. The Marine Ride. Saturday, September the 23rd, Ronnie's Harley-Davidson parking lot, 501 Wakona Street, or when I was growing up, as they used to say, Wakona. Riders will meet at 11 a.m. and leave at 11:20. Ride ends at the Dalton American Legion for lunch. This is an effort to Toys for Tots, Less Fortunate Children, brand new. Unwrapped toys are collected during the months of October and November and December, to give the children from newborn to 14 years old. For more information, you can call Chris Keegan, 413-443-7220, extension 1150. This is really a wonderful event, and I support it 200%. Only because, too, that there's so much going on. I want to take my hat off, too, to One Berkshire. They're doing a youth leadership program, class of 2023. iBerkshire is excited to welcome its 13th class into the Berkshire youth leadership program. This group of 27 rising high school students, juniors across Berkshire County, was selected through a competitive application process to begin a year-long leadership development program that kicked off in June. I'm so happy for them and these kiddos. Also, I want to say, and this will be my last announcement for today, St. Agnes Academy, St. Agnes Academy in Dalton is now enrolling pre-K and four-year-olds for the 2023-24 academic year. Children that are 2.9 years old, as of September 1st, are eligible to enroll. Enrollment is also open for students in grades K through 8. Bus transportation from 5 locations in Pittsfield is available for pre-K through 8th grade. For more information, call St. Agnes Academy at 413-684-3143. Also, don't forget St. Mary's down in Lee. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a different kind of education, parochial Catholic schools. And as I've said in the past, I owe a lot to my grammar school days at St. Charles. Thanks, folks, for everything. Be well. God bless. Take care of each other. Please, please, please take care of each other. Bye-bye.